RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian government to issue regulation on land distribution in April. Indonesian tourism needs to increase nationalism besides foreign exchange. French Embassy to Indonesia awards alumni trophy to 5 Indonesian figures. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will issue in the coming weeks a presidential regulation on land distribution as part of his administration's agrarian reform program to improve the welfare of farmers that was stated by Indonesian Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution Sunday, March 26, 2017. The minister said that the presidential regulation is one of the several rules that will be the legal basis of the land reform program. The minister said, adding that other rules include organization of land reform and the role of the local government, that the government needs to have a legal basis for any release of land which will be subject of the agrarian reform. As part of the land reform program, the government plans to legalize or to certify 4.5 million hectares of land and to redistribute 4.5 million hectares of forest land. Clusters of land will be distributed to groups of people. Meanwhile, Indonesian Agrarian and Special Planning Minister and National Land Body Head Sofian Jalil said the land to be distributed may be unused land with the status of land for business use and other unused land. Former Indonesian Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sabta Nirwandar to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday, March 27, 2017 said Indonesia needs to learn from France, which is a country with the most international tourists in the world. Nevertheless, Sabta Nirwandar also hoped Indonesian tourism, besides focusing on tourist visit and foreign exchange earning, will pay attention to its function in increasing nationalism.
Kalau kita lihat di undang-undang kepariwisataan ya.
In the Tourism Act, besides increasing tourist visit and foreign exchange earnings, tourism must increase the nationalism. For example, through study tours and teenager tourism development program. Furthermore, the former tourism deputy minister said Indonesian tourism also must provide education and increase tolerance of domestic tourists. It is important because domestic tourists play a significant role in recovering Indonesian tourism image during crisis. Therefore, Sabta Nirwandar hope everyone will support domestic tourists. French Embassy in Jakarta on Sunday awarded alumni trophy for 5 Indonesian figures who had studied in France and had contribution for the cooperation of the two countries. Among the 5 figures is Indonesian novel writer Andrea Hirata, who was awarded for his novel Laskar Pelangi, which became bestseller in France. Andrea Hirata hoped Such award will enable a literature cooperation between Indonesia and France through so-called writers residential program.
Saya kira mudah-mudahan selanjutnya akan ada satu kerjasama.
I wish there would be writers residential program in which Indonesian young writers could be invited to France and French writers could visit Indonesia. I hope the program would be like the Indonesian Endowment Fund for Education, which is open for all people as long as they are potential.
Besides Andrea Hirata, the alumni trophy was awarded to ITB Rector Dr. Kardasah Suryadi, TV presenter Ajeng Kamaratih, former Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Dr. Sapta Nirwandar, and the founder of Jurnal Perempuan Gadis Arifia. Five of them represent Indonesia-France cooperation in higher education and research, culture, media, company and civil society. Chairman of the Advisory Board of the Indonesian Ulama Council MUI, Professor Dr. Din Samsudin, said the Islamic world has a great potential to rise as the holders of the supremacy of world civilization. Besides having human resources and abundant natural resources, the Islamic world has the values and historical values. The four great potentials can be a factor that can repeat the glory of Islam as in the past. This was stated by Din Samsudin in his speech at the bestowal of an honorary doctorate in the field of Islamic sciences from Phathoni University, Thailand, on Sunday. As quoted by Antara on Monday, Din Samsudin emphasized, if Muslims want to return to achieve the glory of science, there must be a political support. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated that Athletes Villa for Asian Games 2018, built by Indonesian government in Jakarta's Kemayoran area, will be inherited to the public following completion of the event. The Vice President said, after visiting Athletes Village Kemayoran on Sunday, March 26, 2017, that the Athlete Village will be used to stay only for a month or more for the implementation of Paralympic event than it will be for the public, for instance, in the form of subsidized apartment. Therefore, Yusuf Kalla, better known as JK, reiterated the construction of an apartment complex consisting of 7 buildings must meet quality standard and deadline. He pointed out that the quality along with the deadline is very important. The vice president further said, starting from inserting the first pole of the athletes building at the beginning of 2016 until today, the development process had already met quality and deadline. The Indonesian government has finally decided to select Japan as its partner in the revitalization of the railway connecting Jakarta and Surabaya, East Java. Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that the government has decided that the project will use the scheme with Japan, as quoted by kontan.co.id on Sunday, March 26, adding that the preliminary feasibility study for the project was slated to start in May. Minister Luhut said there will be joint study with Japan and it is hoped that the construction will finish in the first quarter of 2019. Meanwhile, Office of the Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister, Deputy of Infrastructure Coordination Ridwan Jamaluddin said the government would consider two schemes for the construction, eradicating level grade crossings or constructing elevated railways. The project aims to increase the speed of the rail connecting the two cities from around 90 km per hour to 160 km per hour. The government is still considering the technology that will power the trains, such as diesel, which will cost 30 trillion rupiah or $2.2 billion, or electricity with its 80 trillion rupiah price tag. The last item. Lembar Harbor in West Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara will be closed during the day of silence or Nyepi. Manager of the River and Lake Crossings Transport ASDP of Lembar Harbor, Muhammad Yasin, said that the harbor will be closed from March 28, 2017 on 2000 until Wednesday, March 29, 2017, 600 Central Indonesia time. The Lembar Padang Bay ferry will be temporarily inoperable during Nyepi. Yasin said on Monday, March 27, that the shutdown is based on the decision of the Transportation Ministry in responding to the circular letter from the Governor of Bali issued on December 6, 2016 regarding Nyepi Day of 1939, Year of Saka. The operations will be done through two stages. The last departure will sail from Lembar Harbor on Monday, March 27, Central Indonesia time. The last ship to sail from Padang Bay Harbor will be on Tuesday, March 28, at 3:00 Central Indonesia time. The first ship scheduled to sail after the closure will be on Wednesday, March 29. Meanwhile, at Padang Bay Harbor, the activities will start again on Wednesday, March 29 at 8:00 Central Indonesia time. The harbor is currently vacant. Passengers and ship crews are informed that the harbor shut down its operation due to Nyepi Day. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government to issue regulation on land distribution in April. Indonesian tourism needs to increase nationalism besides foreign exchange. French embassy to Indonesia award alumni trophy to 5 Indonesian figures. That was the news.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonder.
all wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, a commentary today entitled Neutrality of General Election Commission KPU. Members of the General Election Commission KPU 2012-2017 period will end their terms of office on 12 April 2017. However, until now, the Commission 2 of the House of Representatives TPR, which among other things oversees 100% regional autonomy as well as the election, has not carried out fit and proper tests on candidate members of the Commission for 2017-2022 period. In fact, 40 names had been submitted by the President to the Parliament on February 1, 2017. Several reasons related to the delay of the fit and proper test have emerged. One of them is because the House has to wait for the completion of the discussion of the draft bill on elections. The government, through Minister of Hun Affairs Cahyo Kumolo, is optimistic that the law on election can be completed at the end of April 2017, as now it has come to the final stages of discussion. Moreover, lately there has been a discourse to include members of political parties to become commissioners of the General Election Commission, KPU. The discourse was expressed by Deputy Chairman of the Special Committee on Election, Yandri Susanto. He refers to the membership of General Election Commission in Germany, which consists of 8 people from political parties and 2 judges to oversee any legal issues. If the General Election Commission KPU consists of members from political parties, how is the neutrality of the Commission, which is a state agency established to organize the elections? If we look at the past, at the beginning of its formation in 1990, the members of the KPU consist of 48 representatives of the political parties contesting the 1999 elections, plus 5 representatives from the government. The commission was also led by representatives of political parties, namely Rudini, representing the Party of Mutual Cooperation Council Kinship. Such condition has made the performance of the commission full of every party's political interests. This was clearly seen during the process until the determination of result of the vote count, discussion of managing the result of the votes, and determination of the elected parliament candidates. The political parties, which were disappointed because of gaining minimum votes, repeatedly forced the commission to hold meetings which ended without result. The meetings were only full of debates. As a result, the determination of the election results by the commission was repeatedly delayed. The slow performance of the commission sparked political uncertainty and consequently worsened the economic condition at the time. The experience has become a lesson for the government and parliament. A year after 1999 general election, the government and the House agreed to revise the electoral law and make the commission as an independent and non-partisan institution. It means there are no longer members of the party and government represented in the General Election Commission, KPU. If the KPU consists of representatives of political party, it is a setback and will affect the neutrality of the election organizer body in Indonesia. Besides, it is of course contradictory to the Article 22E paragraph 5 of 1945 Constitution, which states the general elections are organized by an election commission, KPU, which is national, permanent, and independent. The decision of the Constitutional Court MK on January 4, 2012 also states the KPU commissioner candidates must be free from political party membership for 5 years to maintain the independence and the neutrality of the commission. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on March 27, 1958, when Nikita Khrushchev became Prime Minister of Soviet Union and the first Secretary of Communist Party. Soviet Union experienced transmission crucial leadership after Joseph Stalin era. The first Secretary of Soviet Communist Party, Nikita Khrushchev, on 27 March 1958 replaced Nikolai Bulganin as a prime minister in the Communist Party. For 6 years, Khrushchev became absolute leader for Soviet Communist Party for his country. The installation of Khrushchev as a leader was through political intrigue, which was brutal. In 1953, Stalin died, but he had prepared a new leader of Soviet, Georgi Malenkov. Because Khrushchev did not accept the appointment of Malenkov, he planned a scenario so that Malenkov should abandon the post as the first secretary of the party. Even though he was still appointed as a prime minister, the position was made only as a ceremonial. The post of first secretary of Communist Party, which had major influence for the government of Soviet, was handed over to Khrushchev. In 1955, Malenkov was displaced by Bulganin, which was an ally of Khrushchev. Later, Bulganin betrayed by joining the group which wanted to overthrow Khrushchev as the first secretary. The maneuver had been known by Khrushchev so that he could quickly get rid of Bulganin and took over as a prime minister of Soviet. And the next event was in 1968 when Suharto was sworn in as the second president of Indonesia. Suharto was the second president of Indonesia, holding the office for 31 years from ousting of Sukarno in 1967 until his resignation in 1998. Suharto was born in a small village, Gemusuk, in the Godian area near city of Yogyakarta during the Dutch colonial era. He grew up in humble circumstances. His Japanese Muslim parents divorced not long after his birth, and he was passed between foster parents for much of his childhood. During the Japanese occupation of Indonesia, Suharto served in the Japanese organized Indonesian security forces. Indonesian independence struggle saw his joining the newly formed Indonesian army. Suharto rose to the rank of Major General following Indonesian independence. An attempted coup on 30 September 1965, allegedly backed by the Indonesian Communist Party, was countered by Suharto-led troops. The army subsequently led an anti-communist purge, which the CIA described as one of the worst mass murders of the 20th century. And Suharto wrested power from the Indonesian founding president Sukarno. He was appointed acting president in 1967, replacing Indonesian founding father Sukarno, and elected president the following year. He then mounted a social campaign known as a desukarnisation in an effort to reduce the former president's influence. Support for Suharto's presidency was strong throughout the 1970s, 1980s. By 1990s, the new order authoritarianism and widespread corruption were a source of discontent, and following severe financial crisis led to widespread unrest and his resignation in May 1998. Suharto died in 2008 and was given a state funeral. And the last event was in 2009 when the dam forming Situs Gintu broke. The dam forming Situs Gintu, an artificial lake in Indonesia, broke and killed at least 99 people. The Situs Gintu area in South Jakarta experienced several hours of heavy rain on the night of 26 and 27 March 2009, which caused the dam level to rise, apparently because the gate leading to the spillway was too small. The flood hit while most of the population was asleep and left standing water up to 2.5 meters. Many people were trapped in the town. Some of them took their rooftops to avoid the flood waters. The flood killed 98 people and 5 more were unaccounted for. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus, entitled To Support Food Sovereignty, Financial Services Authority, OJK Launch Food Action. Listener, Chairman of the Board of Commissioner of the Financial Services Authority, OJK, Mulyaman Dehadat, along with Economic Coordinating Minister, Darmin Nasution, officially launched a program of acceleration, synergy, inclusion called Aksi Pangan or Food Action on last Friday, March 24, 2017. The program is synergy, efforts in accelerating financial inclusion's policy to support the realization of the 9th program of President Joko Widodo or Nawacita. The launch of the Aksi Pangan was held in 50 Kota Regency, West Sumatra. Mulyaman Haddad explained, the food action is a follow-up of the Synergy Program of Action for People's Economy launched President Joko Widodo in Brebes, Central Java in the past. The program is also part of the implementation of the National Strategy for Inclusive Finance, which was also launched by the President in 2016. Haddad feels that the food action is an apparent attempt of OJK, along with related ministries and financial services industry players, to speed up and improve the financing of food sector, especially the 11 major commodities of food. Haddad hopes that food action can answer the problem of limited access to financing, especially in the food security sector, such as agriculture, forestry, plantation, and fishery. He also explained that 50 Kota Regency designated as the launch of the food action site was not without reason. The districts becomes one of the areas that has successfully implemented value chain financing in the agricultural and food. The food action will be synergized with the program of teamwork on accelerating access local finance or TPAKD that has been established by OJK in some regions. The program is expected to be able to accelerate the achievement of Indonesia's financial inclusion's index mandated by the President, namely 75% in 2019. The President believes that the target may be reached, since the current financial inclusion's index has reached about 60%. Meanwhile, West Sumatra Governor Irwan Prayitno appreciated the program of accelerations, synergy, inclusion, called Aksi Pangan or Food Action, launched by the Financial Service Authority, OJK, including in the region of West Sumatra. That the banking sector involves in agricultural sector is a concrete step. As a result, there will be a real output. He also says that the Food Action Program by the OJK has given directives to all financial institutions, both banks and non-banks, to participate and help Indonesian farmers. He views that the program is appropriate because West Sumatra is an agricultural province that nearly 50% of the population engage in the agricultural sector. Governor Irwan Prayitno also added that the involvement of financial institutions can help financing for farmers who will realize the food sovereignty under leadership of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala. Listener, that was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will issue in the coming weeks a presidential regulation on land distribution as part of his administration's agrarian reform program to improve the welfare of farmers that was stated by Indonesian Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution on Sunday, March 26, 2017. Former Indonesian Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sabta Nirwandar to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta Monday, March 27, 2017 said, Indonesia needs to learn from France, which is a country with the most international tourists in the world. Nevertheless, Sabta Nirwandar also hoped Indonesian tourism, besides focusing on tourist visits and foreign exchange earning, will pay attention to its function in increasing nationalism. French Embassy in Jakarta Sunday awarded alumni trophy for 5 Indonesian figures who had studied in France and had contribution for the cooperation of the two countries. Among the 5 figures is Indonesian novel writer Andrea Hirata, who was awarded for his novel Laskar Pelangi, which became bestseller in France. Besides Andrea Hirata, the alumni trophy was awarded to ITB Rector Dr. Kadarsah Suryadi, TV presenter Ajeng Kamarati, former Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sabta Nirwandar, and the founder of Jurnal Perempuan Gadis Arivia. Chairman of the Advisory Board of the Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, Professor Dr. Din Samsudin said the Islamic world has a great potential to rise as the holders of the supremacy of the world civilization. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated that Athletes Villa for Asian Games 2018, built by Indonesian government in Jakarta's Kemayoran area, will be inherited to the public following completion of the event. The Vice President said after visiting Athletes Village Kemayoran on Sunday, March 26, that the Athlete Village will be used only for a month or more for the implementation of Paralympic event than it will be for the public, for instance in the form of subsidized apartment. The Indonesian government has finally decided to select Japan as its partners in the revitalization of the railway connecting Jakarta and Surabaya, East Java. Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that the government has decided that the project will use the scheme with Japan as quoted by kontan.co.id on Sunday, adding that the preliminary feasibility study for the project was slated to start in May. Lembar Harbor in West Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara will be closed during the Day of Silence or Nyepi. Manager of the River and Lake Crossings Transport of Lembar Harbor, Muhammad Yasin, said that the harbor will be closed from March 28, 2017 on 2000 until Wednesday, March 29, 2017 on 600 Central Indonesia Time. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesia. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Beauty of measure among the colors of heaven.
Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Leang Leang Prehistoric Park in South Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, South Sulawesi is quite known with marine tour. This province has also historical tour. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Leang Leang Prehistoric Park in Maros Regency. The word of Leang Leang comes from local language meaning cave. At the park, there is prehistoric cave which stores archaeological heritage which is unique and interesting. Listeners, Leang Leang Prehistoric Park offers historical tour of culture of early human civilization. Painting of human palms and hawk deer, which are plastered on the wall of the cave, and also various artifacts become evident of prehistoric human presence at this area. At the park, there are hundreds of prehistoric caves which are spread out on Maros Pangkep Hills. The paintings in Petai and Petakere caves were found for the first time in 1950 by two archaeologists from the Netherlands, Van Hikeren and Miss Heren Palm. These caves were the start of the study on prehistoric cave and the early discovery of the paintings in Maros Regency. Listeners, to get to Petai Cave, tourists must climb stairs, which is not quite high. Petakere Cave is located around 300 meters from Petai Cave. In Petai Cave, there are 5 paintings of human palms, 1 painting of hawk deer, which is jumping with arrow on its chase. Meanwhile, at the entrance door of the cave, which reaches 8 meters high and 12 meters wide, there are flags of such natural containers or serpih bilah and calm seals. Serpih bilah is kind of ancient hunting tools which has a round surface. While at Petakere Cave, some artifacts such as 2 paintings of hawk deer, 27 paintings of human palms, arrowhead, and serpih bilah are found. Listeners, to go to Leang Leang Prehistoric Park if you go from Makassar City as a distance 30 kilometers or 1 hour to Maros, while from Maros the location of the site is around 13 kilometers and takes 45 minutes by car. Arriving at the park, you have to pay an entrance ticket, 10,000 rupiah. At the park, there is parking space for visitors who drive their own cars and also gazebo to take a rest after going around the park. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Leang Leang Prehistoric Park in South Sulawesi Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Menjenguk Teman, which in English means visiting a friend. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Menjenguk, menjenguk in English, to visit. Teman, teman in English, friend. Kabar, kabar in English, information. Sakit, sakit in English, be sick. Dua hari in English, 2 days. Tidak masuk kantor, tidak masuk kantor in English, not come to work. Hari ini in English, today. Pulang kantor in English, office break. Rumah, rumah in English, home. Toko buah in English, fruit stall. Membeli, membeli in English, to buy. Membawa, membawa in English, to bring. Kue kue, kue kue in English, cookies. Mengajak, mengajak in English, to invite. Teman yang lain in English, other friends. Menunggu, menunggu in English, to wait. Tempat parkir in English, parking area. Now listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Menjenguk Teman, or in English means visiting a friend. The conversation is between A. Ani and B. Mary at the office. A. Ani, kabarnya Rose sakit. Kabarnya Rose sakit. In English, I heard Rose is sick. Mary, ya betul. Ya betul. Sudah 2 hari dia tidak masuk kantor. Ya betul. Sudah 2 hari. Dia tidak masuk kantor. In English, yes, she is. She did not come to work for 2 days. Ani, bagaimana kalau hari ini pulang kantor kita menengok dia? Bagaimana kalau hari ini pulang kantor kita menengok dia. In English, why don't we visit her after the office break? Mary, baiklah, baiklah. In English, all right. Sebelum ke rumahnya, kita ke toko buah. Sebelum ke rumahnya, kita ke toko buah. In English, before going to her home, we would like to stop at the fruit stall. Untuk membeli buah dulu. Untuk membeli buah dulu. In English, to buy some fruits first. Ani, setuju. Selain itu, kita juga membawakan kue-kue. Setuju. Selain itu, kita juga membawakan dia kue-kue. In English, I do agree. We also bring her some cookies. Mari kita ajak teman yang lain. Mari kita ajak teman yang lain. In English, let's take other friends to go together. Mary, baiklah. Pulang kantor, saya tunggu kamu di tempat parkir. Baiklah. Pulang kantor, saya tunggu kamu di tempat parkir. In English, okay, I will wait for you at the parking area after the office break. Ani, baiklah, sampai jumpa. Baiklah, sampai jumpa. In English, all right, see you. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, let's listen to some Indonesian Kroncong songs by Ismanto. Well, listener, to initiate this segment of Music Corner, we'll play for you the first song entitled Kroncong Sapu Tangan by Ismanto.
Sapu tangan yang harum bahunya menawan hatiku. Basah air mataku karena datangnya tangisku. Sapu tangan yang dulu ku terima dari kekasihku, pada masa dahulu berdua pertama bertemu. Penuh dengan rencana dan janji telah disetujui, meskipun bagaimana terjadi sehidup sehidup. tangan di waktu sekarang. Bagai hiburanku, karena kekasihku sekarang tinggalkan diriku.
The song Sapu Tangan is one of original Kroncong songs. The song was composed by Indonesian Kroncong maestro Gesang. The song tells about a gift from beloved one, a piece of handkerchief. However, the gift now becomes a solace. The Kroncong songs began to popular in Indonesia after the Dutch left the country in 1950. At the time, the newcomer of singers came and popular as the Kroncong legendary singers such as Ismanto and Waljina. The ability of Ismanto to bring the songs of Kroncong genre was not in doubt. In 1960s, the music of Javanese Kroncong was quite developed. A number of singers coloring the music, including Ismanto. Well, listener, now let's listen to the coming song entitled Bhakti by Ismanto.
Cerahir malam mendesir alun bayu bagai bahana. Teja sakti Nirvana bimbang lagi ini tujuan baktiku. Di alam bebas merdeka aku menunaikan bakti, memohon restu dewa agar ditabahkan hati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.